parsha begins, Vedabro Kim Moshe, Yimra Levani Hashem. El Kim spoke to Moshe, and he said, Ani Hashem. Va'irel Avram, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Bekel Shakai. Shmi Hashem, Lodaki Lohem. Because I appeared to the Avos with the Shem Kel Shakai. Shmi Hashem, the Shem Abaya, Lodaki Lohem. I did not make myself known to them, the Shem Abaya. So Rashi points out, obviously the Avos knew the Shem Abaya. It wasn't an issue of knowing or not knowing. The Avos, I mean, you find it used for Abrishis. They talk to Hashem using the Shem Avaya. But the Pasuk here says that the Gilui to the Avos, which was done, came through the Shem Kel Shakai. But he was not Nikra, Rashi says, with his Mida of Havaya. So we have to understand, what is the Mahalach of the Avos, the Shaykh, the Kel Shakai, and what's the Shem Avaya, which seems to come up now only in Parshas Va'era? What's the Gilui occurring now through Yitzchus Mitzrayim and the Makos, which comes to Shem Avaya? In the Pasuk itself, your Medayik, the Lashon is Va'era, Kel Shakai. By Kel Shakai Hashem, there's a Lashon Re'iyah. Hashem appeared through Kel Shakai. By the Shem Hashem, this is Lona Dati Lehem, there's the Yediya. So we see that the Shem Hashem only comes by means of Yediya. The Gilui Shem Hashem is through Yediya. The Gilui of Kel Shakai comes through Re'iyah. And again, the Shaila is, why is one Re'iyah, one's Yediya? What's the difference? The emphasis is, you look throughout all these parashas of the Yitzchus Mitzrayim, and you find this repeated over and over again. Yadu Mitzrayim Kini Hashem. So the Mitzrayim shall know that I am Havaya. Use the Lashon Havaya. Throughout the entire parsha, the focus is they shall know that I am Hashem using the Shem Havaya. So we see that there's a Gilui coming with this Shem Hashem through these parashas, which we don't have until now. At Har Sinai, the Shom Aleichem we got from Kosh Baruch Hu by the Dibros was Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Kiilu, now you know who I am. Now you know that I am Havaya. I am Hashem. Now you know that. And that's what happened at Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. No, so what's this Indian? What did the Avos not get to see? What are we now being able to understand through Yitzchus Mitzrayim? What's happening over here? Now, the Makos begin Parshas Va'era, and the Sfarim explain, all the Chassidim Sfarim bring this down, Chora's earlier sources, that the 10 Makos are connected to the 10 Maimaros, Shunever Behena Olam. The world's created in 10 Maimaros, in Bereishis, and the Eser Makos are connected to the 10 Maimaros. Now, it's very nice that they both are tens, 10's a nice number. But what's the deeper connection between the two? What's the idea that the Makos, Adarabba, the Maimaros are building and Makos are destroying? So it seems a little bit off. What's the connection between the two? And furthermore, when the Svarim described this, they explained the order is reverse, meaning that Makkah number 1 is connected to Maimar number 10. Makkah 2 is connected to Maimar number 9. So it's a reverse order. So Makkah's Dam is connected to the last of the Maimaros, and Makkah's Bechor is connected to the first of the Maimaros. So it's even stranger, they're connected to each other and they seem to be opposites, and plus the order is going to be in reverse order. What's that idea? So I think it's important to understand a little bit about the Inyan of Asar Maimaros, and then we can understand more about this Inyan. So the Mishnah says in Avos, it's Perakei Mishnah Aleph, it says, Basar Maimaros Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created through Asar Maimaros. What's the Chiddush here? May Kosh Baruch Hu could have created the world in one Maimar. Hashem doesn't need any Maimaros, really. I'm saying Hashem doesn't need to create the world any way he wants. So what's the idea of 10 Maimaros? Why 10? Eli para min ha-Rishayim shem abdim is ha-olam shnivra v'asa Maimaros. It's to punish the Rishayim that destroy the world created through 10 Maimaros. V'itin tzchar tov v'tzadikim shem ha-kaimen is ha-olam shnivra v'asa Maimaros. And to give tzchar tzadikim who are able to sustain a world created through v'asa Maimaros. So that's the mission of us. So what's the pshat? Why is 10 versus 1 make any difference? If Hashem wants to punish Rishayim, he can do it with one Maimer. If Hashem wants to do it with one Maimer. Why does 10 Maimaros allow for punishment and for schar? What's the pshat? So Pshat Emes has a very interesting pshat in this Mishnah, which is really a yisod to understand so much. And I'll elaborate on his pshat, but this is that's in his pshat that he says. The olam, the world itself, is lashon helam. Helam's concealment. If you forget something, it's called a helam. In halacha, by chatas, if you're chayv on halamos, so how much you forgot, how much is concealed from you. So we know that the olam is a world of helam. It's a world of concealment because it conceals the Kosh Baruch Hu. It's a world of Kosh Baruch Hu. It's himself in the world. He's hiding. Kel mistater, we say. There's a passage of kel mistater, Kosh Baruch Hu hides from us. And this is the topic of the world. Because if Kosh Baruch Hu was clear in the world, if Kosh Baruch Hu was open and clear, so then we have no makam avoda. There's no bechira. There's no room for choices because everything is very, very clear. The emes is Eino Milvado. The emes is Hakadosh Baruch Hu is all, and the world doesn't stand before him. But of course, Baruch Hu had to make the impression that there is an independent world here that's, you know, kevi'yachol, separate from him. And that impression allows us to then for have a makam avoda. The world appears separate from Kosh Baruch Hu. There's a makam for bechira. We can make right choices or wrong choices. And that's the point of the concealment. The idea of olam, of helam, is that the Hashem has to conceal himself so that we can have a makam to make choices and do the right thing. The Sfasemis says that every one of the maimaros was Kosh Baruch Hu putting down a layer of concealment in the world. So Ki'ilu, the Sfasemis says, if most great with one maimer, then Kosh Baruch Hu would be just so clear, so apparent. Again, there's no makam bechira. Because if I know what's right, I'm not going to choose wrong. It's 100% clear in front of me. So the 10 maimaros, every single maimer, was a Kosh Baruch Hu concealing himself more and more and more, enabling the world to be a makum where we can make choices, to have a makum avoda. So that's the idea of 10 maimaros. The issue is that if a Kosh Baruch Hu conceals himself too much, so then we can't find him anymore. Right? You could have a good hiding place, but if your hiding place is too good, then no one's going to find you. If a Kosh Baruch Hu conceals himself too little, then he's too apparent, and we have no makum bechira. So there's going to be a balance here. Kosh Baruch Hu is too open, then we have no bechira. Kosh Baruch Hu is too hidden, we can't find him anymore, and we have no makum to do what's right, because we can't find a Kosh Baruch Hu. So Kosh Baruch Hu, when he creates the world, has to strike a balance. There has to be a certain balance in the Bria of how much Gilui and how much Hester. How much is the Kosh Baruch Hu available and apparent, and how much is the Kosh Baruch Hu hiding and unapparent. So this is the balance which we have to strike. This balance is what we would attribute to the Shem Shakai. Look at the Shem Shakai in the Pasuk. Kosh Baruch Hu brings the world to the proper balance so that there's enough Gilui and there's enough Hester, that there's enough Gilui we can find him and do a vote, enough Hester that we have free choice. That's the Gemara Chagiga, Yebezim at Aleph. The Gemara Chagiga says, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. B'shoshe Baruch Kosh Baruch Hu Asa Olam, Hayam Marachim Hoyla Kishtei Pekayus, Shel Shesi. Kosh Baruch Hu created the world. The world was expanding, like, you know, unraveling, you know, two spools of yarn. Achigarbo Kosh Baruch Hu, Kosh Baruch Hu screamed at it and stopped it. V'amido, Shinemar, Amudei Shemayim Yerofafu. It says that the pillars of Shemayim, they weakened, V'yismu, and they were astonished, Migarasa, from the Ga'ara, from the yelling of Hashem. This is what Rish Lakish says, Maidach Zevani Kel Shakai. What does it mean, I am Kel Shakai? Anihu Shemarji La'olam Dai. The word Shakai is like She, Dai. He told the world, Dai. He told the world, enough. And the Shem Kel Shakai means, he told the world, Dai. This is sufficient. So based on this pshat, the idea is that the world is expanding, means creating more and more of a Helam, more and more of a Hester. And Kosh Baruch Hu was able to strike that balance and say, Dai, that's sufficient, meaning that if you go a little bit too far, I'm going to be too concealed. So therefore we got to stop right there. If a little bit too close, I'm going to be too revealed. Kosh Baruch Hu found the exact proper balance in the world. He told the world, Dai. Look at the other point, sounds interesting, just a side point. He says, by the Binyan Mishkan, you find the opposite. You know, the Binyan Mishkan was the Kosh Baruch Hu bringing Shekhinah into the world. So by the Mishkan, they kept building up a Mishkan, and they're bringing more and more of Hashem into the Mishkan. And then you find the pasuk, the Moshe Rabbeinu has to tell them, stop bringing the donations. He says, "Avloch ha'sadai yom v'hoster." Loshen dies over there as well, because there, if they were to bring too much into the Mishkan, they would create too much of a gilui, and they have to stop from the other end. So when the world's expanding, the world is concealing Hashem. Till Hashem says, "Die." By the Mishkan, as they're bringing down more Shechina, they have to bring it down in the right proportions. Until at that point, we say enough, you know, because too much Shechina is not good for us either. So that's by the Mishkan. But that's the Shem Kel Shakai, is that Hashem told the world, die. The Shem Kel Shakai, it's a shame which is mashma, I'm limiting. It's limiting the expanse of the Bria, limiting the concealment of Kosh Baruch Hu. It limits the Gilui of Hashem, and it limits the Esther of Hashem, meaning it allows for the proper balance in the Bria so that we can have Makom Avoda. Rashi in Lech Lecha, by Bris Mila, Kosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu, he says with Kel Shakai, he says, Ni Kel Shakai. He tells Avraham Avinu, I'm Kel Shakai, you should go before me and be tamim. So Rashi there touches up, what's Kel Shakai? He says, Dai be'elokusi l'chol birya. I have sufficient elokus for every single creation. So Sfasemis explains in one place, but the Nakuda, it fits right in, is that Kosh Baruch Hu left sufficient elokus in the Bria for every single birya. meaning that there's sufficient. It's not too much, it's not too little, it's the right amount. It's sufficient for every single birya has sufficient elokos within it. Which means further that every birya has an akudat elokos within that beneath, you know, we can find it. I mean, you look around and you see a tree. And to us, a tree looks like a tree. You know, we don't see necessarily elokos in a tree. But we know deep down, if you think about it, the tree itself is a gilui kodesh baruch hu too. You know, because every single thing in the birya is only here because of kodesh baruch hu. Its entire structure, its metzias, its existence, because of kodesh baruch hu. If you're a spoiler in the flow of sabore, you can see deep down under the layers of the tree, there's a kodesh baruch hu there as well. So the daidel kisuchol birya, every single birya out there, even though you don't look at it as a gilui of Hashem, there's a sufficient gili within it. And deep down, you can find, but beneath the shells, beneath the klippas, beneath everything which is there, you can find a kodesh baruch hu within it. When we talk about a shem Hashem, you know, again, in little itzik ben istaros, there's this, there's some shot in a pasuk, though. We're talking about a pasuk here in Va'ira. You talk about a shem Hashem, what does it mean? I mean, Hashem is a lot of shameless. And you know, there's nafkaminas to understand what's a shem Hashem, what's not, you know, in terms of, you know, the isra machia, there's a machika, a lot of different things you can do with a shem Hashem. When we talk about a shem, what does it mean? So it's, I think it's a very simple understanding. You know, the shame is the way you relate, interact with another person, another being. That's the shame. Like Lamashal, and people have a lot of names. You can have somebody, you know, some people call me Abba, right? And some call me Rabbi Shira. And some call me Yitzi. And some call me Rebbe. And, you know, some call me Mr. Shira. You know, there's lots of names people might call me. So what determines what names they might call me? Well, it depends on the relationship with me. You know, my children understand that I have another name, but they call me Abba because I'm their father. And, you know, everyone who interacts with you, you know the other names. It's not that you don't know the names, but your interaction is based on the shame in terms of your relationship and your interaction at that moment. And sometimes it can change. You know, sometimes you can have somebody that you used to refer to in a very, very formal manner, but as you get closer to them, you start them calling them in a less formal manner, you know? Used to be, one of your parents' friends used to be, you know, Mr. Schwartz, and then you got older, you got closer to him, and he became young. You know, whatever, it could change, because relationship changes, and that's true as well. So when it comes to the shame of a kodesh baruch hu, so obviously the Abbas knew the shemus. They knew, that's what Rashi says here. They knew all the shemus. But the shame in which was used for the gilui is the ifin in which they interacted with the kodesh baruch hu. The interaction occurring, the perception of the relationship, that comes to the shame, which is being nisgal at that moment. So the gilui of Kel Shakai, which is through the Avos, which is what the Pasuk says, it's the Gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the world of Teva. It's that Hashem created Teva. Teva was there in order to, like we said, to strike this proper balance. But the Gilui came through the Teva. So the Avos, when they found the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to the world, it was through the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Teva. They were able to perceive the Dai within the Teva itself. They could see that even though I see here nature, and I see science, and I see a world which seems to be independent, they're able to see deeper and find the Nekudah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within it. So that was the Indian of the Avos and the Gili through the Avos. We know that the famous Gematria of Hateva is Elukim, same Gematria, because we know when you look at nature, you're supposed to find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nefesh HaChaim connects the Shem Elukim to the Shem Kel Shakai, which we can explain a little more what that connection is. But both of those shemos of Hashem, Elokim and Kel Shakai, are shemos which have to do with the Kodesh Baruch Hu being found in Teva. We know that Hashem is nislabish in Teva. Hashem is found in Teva. You can develop the false habore, and we're supposed to be able to see that HaTeva is Elokim. We're supposed to see the false habore, and through that recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's always our goal. And when you walk around the world and you look at beautiful things, you see the complexity of the Bria, you see the beauty of the Bria. So your job is to say, well, this is not independent. This doesn't stand alone. Is only because within it there's the Nekudah of Kedusha V'Kodesh Baruch Hu. Another Taichin Shakai, which is brought down in Rishonim, you can look in the Parsha here, there's a lot of different approaches to Shakai, but they all relate. One approach is Yishodin Marachu Sateva, because I'll say it as well, Shodin Marachu Sateva, because Baruch Hu is able to Shodin, he plunders, he can destroy and overcome all the systems of nature. So the implication there, though, is that Kedusha Baruch Hu is within nature. Within nature, Kedusha Baruch Hu is able to overturn the systems. But that's still within. Let's give a mushul. This is a mushul I'm giving a lot. If you ever have to deal with like a company, and let's say you have an item you want to return that's like defective, so you go to the you call on the phone and you speak to like the customer service agent, and you complain and they have a problem, this problem, that problem, and they'll tell you like, I'm sorry, sir, but you know it's too late for your return, and the computer will let me do it. You know, I can't make the return. It doesn't work. You know, I'm sorry, I can't do it. So they're stuck in the system. They can't overturn the system. So I say, you know, can I speak to your manager, please? Right? So the manager comes in, you explain the situation. The manager says, okay, I can put in a special override. and measure overrides the system, and Mimela, you're able to, you know, make your return or get your respawn, whatever you're looking to do. Now, both of them are bound to the system. Both of them are in the system. The regular customer service worker can't overturn the system, and the manager can, but they're both using the system. The manager was given, you know, a password from the boss that, if necessary, you have the right to overturn the system and to allow things that don't, that can't be allowed for the lower workers. But it's all within the system. Neshaka is a shame. Elokim ki'ilu is when you see the system itself. Elokim is the shame kodesh baruch hu in nature. If you see that nature is a kodesh baruch hu, and the powers of nature are a kodesh baruch hu as well. Shakai is when you find a kodesh baruch hu, you know, with overturned nature. Meaning you're still perceiving it within nature. But it goes a little further than that, because sometimes you'll find that hashkacha occurs in natural means. You know, you don't see anything like malam in a tepa, you don't see anything happening which defies nature, but you see hashkacha in the world. So how does that work? It's more about the kodesh baruch hu manipulates nature. He doesn't manipulate the system so that things turn out as they want them to turn out. And that's what the avos are. Avraham Avinu, we know, how did Avraham Avinu discover kodesh baruch hu? So Chazal gives the famous mashal where he's walking by this like building, he saw the lights are on, and he said, you know, Nishbira Delekis, Adam, where's the Balabira? Right? How can you have a building with lights and nobody's inside? And the Baruch Hu was hated so much. Popped out to Avinu and said, here I am. And he found the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rambam explains how Avraham Avinu, I mean, and Chazal say it as well, that he was able to miskoinen and see the sun and figure out where the sun come from, and the moon, and the stars, and the clouds, and through nature, Avraham Avinu discovered a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu was not privy to any Gilui in a Shemayim. There was nothing well in the Teva which came to him. But through seeing what we would call the Gilui of the Shem Kel Shakai, Avraham Avinu was able to discover a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He was able to come to Amunah through finding the Baal HaBira. He was able to see, I see a Bira here, there's a beautiful building over here. Who's the Baal HaBira? Must be a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But he saw it in the building. It all came through the building, in the building, and Hashem peeked out through the building. That's where it came. It wasn't, Hashem didn't come out from Shemayim. The mashal is Hashem, the Baal HaBira was inside, and he opens the window and says, hi, here I am. That's the mashal Chazal give. So we're talking about a Gilui coming totally through this world. It was able to see the Dai in the Helam. You know, there's a Dai, there's a sufficient Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Bria, and he was able to find it. Or Gedolyahu points out, interesting, Nakuda, you know, the Pasuk says, Sumara Menechem Amrumi Bara Ela. It says, you should lift up your eyes to the heavens, and you can see who created everything. And that's the shayla we ask ourselves. So we're supposed to look at the flows of Bari in nature, and try to figure out, you know, how can I come to Kodesh Baruch Hu through perceiving Nifalos HaBorei? So the pasuk which comes to mind is lift up your eyes and ask yourself the question, who created it all? All this beautiful stuff, where did it come from? So it's pointed out that Elokim is made of the word, of the letters, Mi Ela. I mean, you ask the question, Mi Bara Ela. So Elokim is the one who is Mi Ela, the one who is Bara Ela, who created all these things, is Elokim. It's the same Osios. Because this is the way in which you're able to perceive a Kodesh Baruch Hu through nature, through the system of our world, through the Shtachah in our world, that's all through our world, and that's all in the, you know, the Dai, the sufficient Gilui of Kodesh Baruch Hu. But there's another Madrega, and this is where Yisus Mitzrayim comes in. The Pasuk says that through the Avos, I was in the Segala through the Shem Kel Shakai, but Shvi Hashem Nadati Lohem. I wasn't Megala Shem Havaya to the Avos. Again, they knew it, but I wasn't Misgala myself through that shame to the others. What does that mean? So Nefesh HaChaim is Mayrach in this point. You know, the difference between our perception and the emes of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And, you know, Be'etzim, he says, you know, from our end, we see a world that's independent. You know, things kind of function on their own. Everything can be explained through science. Everything seems to stand alone. That's our perception. You know, we see our existence. We see each of ourselves see ourselves as individuals who have Bechira, and live, you know, separate from each other and from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's how we see things. And that's how it's supposed to be from our end. That's all the concept of this idea of the Helam, of the Hester, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu concealing himself. So there's a feeling, a perception of independence. But the emes is, mitzad Kodesh Baruch Hu, ino novado. So kula kamek lo chashim. Everything out there is nothing, mitzad Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad means, you know, literally, all there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing else. This is a Havana that we're not really having the ability to understand. But it's the truth. From Kodesh Baruch Hu, you say, Shema Yisrael, Shem HaKim, Hashem Echad. You're not just saying that there's one God, not Avodah Zarah. You're saying that Hashem is it. There's nothing else that exists in the Bria. I've never seen a mucker for this, but I like to think that the reason that we cover our eyes by saying Shema is to kind of simulate our own non-existence. You know, we don't see it. There's nothing else to see out there. It's just a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's nothing there. So the truth is, there's nothing beyond Hashem, nothing independent of Hashem. All this comes from Hashem. And that's, you know, the Shem Havaya, again, in its most basic understanding, is that all is, that's the Shem which provides all existence. It's the recognition that every single moment of existence is Kulo Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon was for 1 second the world shouldn't exist, everything goes poof and it's gone. You know, we're all just here for Ratzono, and there's nothing beyond that. Everything is just Mitzad of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there's nothing more. That's the Ve'enom Novado. There's nothing else. They're able to see that there's nothing other than Kadosh Baruch Hu, literally. There's nothing else. We, from that perspective, you know, we're also non-existent. You know, we're not independent. They're totally a chiluk of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. So what that means is that, from this perspective, the system of Teva, the system of nature, the system of what we describe as Kel Shakai, is meaningless. There's nothing there. You know, Adon Olam Asher Malach Temple Yitzir Nivra. Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Adon Olam before everything, and Achrei Kulsa Kol of Adon Mechonor. And afterwards, he's also by himself. You know, in between, you know, there's nothing there either. It's all Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the system itself is meaningless from that perspective. You know, go back to our mashal of customer service. So you have your lowly worker. You call on the phone, and they say, "I can't do it. System won't let me." Then you speak to the manager. "Okay, I can override the system. I have a special code." Then you talk to the owner of the company. He'll pull out his laptop from his pocket a few dollars and say, "Okay, thank you, get out of here." You know, he'll open the register and just give you what you want. He doesn't need to play in the system. He doesn't need to put things in the computer. He can do what he wants because he's developed us and created the system. Therefore, the system is meaningless. It's not the system doesn't have any purpose. The first day of Rachis, my air might be on Ephod. So, you know, I'll tell us that because there's nothing else. It's just a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Ephod. It's Yom Ephod. That was it. After Yom Ephod, it's working with other creation that simulated another existence. So we think of something other than Hashem. I think Shani is already a temptation of an Azara in the light because there's already more than one thing in the world. That's a part of the event, and you nearly got a problem with that. So Shem Shakai recognizes there's a world, and there's an Ephod, and there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu which interacts with the world and through the world. But Shem Havaya recognizes that all existence is constantly only from Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing else. The system is irrelevant, the world is irrelevant, we're irrelevant, it's all Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a world of Malka Teva. It's not a system to override, but a system which we don't go with that system anymore. It's above nature, it's supernatural, Malka Teva. Yeah, so going back to the Makos for a second. The Makos were meant, the Sis Mitzrayim as a whole, and this entire period, you know, from Sis Mitzrayim to Matan Torah, Parshas Hashovavim, the entire period which we're reading about right now in the Chumash is supposed to be the Gilui of the Shem Hashem. The Makos, Svarim Seir Kenny Maimaros, we start off with this question, because the Makos, their whole goal was to be Gilui. So we sometimes have a childish understanding that the Makos are just to punish. But it's not true. Of course, Baruch Hu wants to punish Mitzvah, he has many ways to do it. And if you don't need 10 makos, Hashem could have done one big makos and they could have been punished. And, you know, Hashem has punished Marshan in lots of different ways. But the makos are beyond just punishing the Mitzrim. The makos are the Gilyam. They're Gilyam Hashem. That's the Pesukim. You got them, Kini Hashem. Every time Kini Hashem. Might as well have to know, we had to know. We had to know. There was a idea that came to the makos of Ani Hashem, of Shem Havaya. That idea came to the makos. So each makos, and this goes back to the idea of the Sfas Emes, each Maka was meant to pull off one layer of Hester, which was created by the Maimonides. He said every Maimer was one extra layer concealing the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world, until we got to that sufficient balance between Gilui and Hester. Every Maka, which is connected to the Maimonides, was there to peel off one layer. The Galah Hashem, more and more and more, until you got to the point, like we said, backwards. Why is it a backwards order? Because the first Maka is pulling off the 10th layer of concealment. Second Makkah pulling off the 9th layer of concealment. Third Makkah pulling off the 8th layer of concealment. So every single Makkah is bringing closer and closer and closer to the Shoresh, the Kodesh Baruch. And finally get to Makkah's Bechoros. And Makkah's Bechoros is Ani Yotzei Mitzrayim. The Kodesh Baruch says, I am going out of Mitzrayim. I myself. You know, there's an open Gilui here which we've never even experienced before, never heard of before. The Gilui Shechina. But Hashem says it, Ani Yotzei. I am going out of Mitzrayim. I'm doing it myself. And that was meant, Makkah's Bechoros is meant to bring us back the ultimate Gilui of the Bria. Without any of his concealment, Hashem was totally open at that moment. And that moment, Makos Bechoros, and that moment was a transformational moment in history. That was an incredible moment. That's what we're marking on Pesach. And that was when Kosh Baruch Hu was Megala himself. Bechod V'atzmo, the Haggadah says. And he did it himself, Bechod V'atzmo, he came to himself, and he experienced the Giluy like no other. And then at Har Sinai, so Kosh Baruch Hu opens up, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzichem Eretz Yisrael. I am the same Hashem, that same Giluy, that same experience of Havaya that you had in Mitzrayim. So that's me, here I am, Shalom Aleichem, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And that was kind of like the climax of the Giluy at Har Sinai. And then at Har Sinai, the Torah tells us, Atar Yisrael Adas, Yashem Elokimeinu Mavado. At Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu has told us that Har Sinai, we were shown with that, to understand that Hashem is Elohim, Einu Mavado, there's nothing else. And the Pasuk Einu Mavado comes out through that. And Rashi tells us, whenever they're in Chumash, Rashi tells us what happened, that Kosh Baruch Hu opened up all Zion Rekian, and Klai Yisrael was able to perceive Einu Mavado. That's what Rashi says. You know, that's what Rashi tells us. At Har Sinai, everything, all layers of concealment, even up in the Shemayim, all the Rekian, everything was pulled away. And the Kosh Baruch Hu, and we saw Kosh Baruch Hu was Yachid. That's what Rashi says. So then that was where all these Giluyim and Havaya were heading towards that moment at our Sinai, when we had such a clarity that everything else is totally irrelevant. There's nothing else in the world that matters. Nothing else in the world exists independent of Kosh Baruch Hu, and all you have is Einu Mavado. That's all you have. You tear away the Zion Rekiyah, and Kosh Baruch Hu just jumps out of you. That was the Giluy Har Sinai. It's very interesting that the Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred in the 26th door of history, which is Megan Mishim Havaya. And then you count from Avraham Avinu, from Avraham Rishon to Avraham to Noach was 10 doros, Noach to Avraham was 10 doros, and then Avraham to Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 doros. You count them out. But that's 26 doros, and that's the Indian. I mean, Chazal pointed out as well that it's the Matri Shem Havaya, and because the Giluy of Havaya occurred in that door. That's where the Giluy came. Again, the Avos were aware of it, but the Giluy to the world came through that. It said that the Va'era, Hashem says, I appeared, Moshe Re'iya, to the Avos, to Kel Shakai, which Hashem was not doing that, but they didn't have a Yediyah of Shem Havaya. So we asked the question, why does Kel Shakai come through Re'iya, why does Havaya come through Yediyah? And I think the answer, again, on our level is very apparent, which is that Kel Shakai is the Shem where you're perceiving the Baruch Hu in this world. I can see it. From Hashgachah, you can see sometimes. You know, you can view the close of Ra'iyah nature. So you can remember see with your Ene Basar Vadam, you're able to actually have a Ra'iyah, a very clear understanding and sight of Kel Shakai. Havaya is something that's still beyond us. You can't see it. We can even, it's hard to even have any perception of it. You know, the best we can do is Yarani Adam Bechai, to really see the Baruch Hu's essence is impossible in this world. Yarani Adam Bechai, you can't, there's no Ra'iyah. So the Shem Havaya, this concept that this, you know, the ideal of the world functioning out of the system, of Alamina Teva, the idea of Einu Mavado, the idea of Kosh Baruch Hu being all, and our existence is totally, you know, null and void, Klapei Kosh Baruch Hu, something that we have no possibility of ever seeing about this world. It remains the idea, you know, it remains a piece of information, which is a piece of knowledge which is out there. And we have a Buddha that's the MS, but it's not something we can really perceive. We can't perceive our own non-existence. We can't perceive our own, you know, lack of ability to perform without a much Baruch Hu's help. We can't perceive it. We just can know it. We know it's our help. That's not all we can do. It's not just the Makos. The Makos are meant to be Giluy. Chazemer says that the Giluy which occurred at this point in history was the Giluy Torah Mitzvos. Or see that Torah Mitzvos. The Torah Mitzvos is Gufa, the Giluy, of how it's related to this idea of Shem Havaya, Lamal Teva, to live your life and impact things that go beyond Teva. We can be impacted by things that are beyond Teva, and that, you know, the Torah of the Etzim is Das, which is Lamal Teva, the Torah is. This Mahalcha Moshe Rabbeinu versus the Avos, the Mahalcha Torah, and Mitzvos versus the Rabbi of the Bria, is something which is functioning with the system, which is beyond anything which we have within our world. I always like to think about there's two different times in history where Kosh Baruch Hu spoke to us. He just spoke to the world sometimes, but he spoke to the Bimah all the time. He spoke to the world as a whole sometimes. Am I Sabracious and Harsin? Am I Sabracious? You have the 10 Maros? You have the 10 Dibros. The two times that Kosh Baruch Hu spoke to us. And my Maros, you can understand, they're all said the Shem Elokim, not Shem. Havaya Mamaro. That was the whole, you know, concealment, creating Tadva, creating nature and the Mamaros. By the time Dibros, we get to Rukesh and Mokapa, which is the five. So that was the key to something not just concealed within our world, but something gathered. These two Giluyim are very, very important Giluyim in the Baruch. These two are the essence, all our entire access of the Baruch comes from the two Giluyim. But they're very, very different. The first Giluyim, which we said, is the, you know, the Avos, El Shakai, and Elohim. That Giluyim is the sacred Baruch of Nishim. This is the Buddha that we have. All of us have that Avoda of looking around the world, seeing the close of Bore, seeing the beauty, seeing the precision, the complexity of the Bria, understanding that every single point discovered in science is merely from Hashem. What it is. Put that system in place. Place the system in the park. And be able to grow in Amunah and grow in our understanding of the world through seeing nature, seeing close of Bore, seeing the couple in nature. That's the one Buddha here. This was the Buddha of the Avos. Avraham came to Amunah, Dafka, this Mahalo. That's how he came to Amunah. This is what Chazal teaches. Avraham did not have a Gilead of Torah. He didn't have a Gilead of Harsina. What he had was a Gilead of Teva. He had a Gilead of Teva Maros. And through the Maros, Avraham was able to come to Amunah, come to the recognition of Kodesh Baruch Hu. We see Ashgacha. Ashgacha is something which you see within nature. You're not seeing things which are along in Teva. We see Ashgacha in our lives. Ashgacha in history. Ashgacha in Yechidim. This is all the Gilead of Hashem Elohim, of Hashem Shakai. This is all the Gilead of seeing Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is a very important tool for us to use to grow, you know, as people and to go now to another level, which is much more daunting, as we call it, much more difficult. And that's the Gilead of Harsina. Gilead of Harsina is a difference. Gilead of Harsina is something which is far beyond us. The Gilead came out through the Shrine of Matan Torah, the parts of the Shulva did all this Gilead. And that's to see that everything is only here in Yirtzon Hashem. Everything exists, every single moment, only Zono. Abaya means existence. Existence is only from Hashem. The entire world is more than powerful, like nothing, not existence. The pigment of our imagination is that we're. Teva is merely an illusion, and behind the Teva is only Mabaka. It's something which is a reality, it's the idea that we need to have, an understanding of what the world is, what God is, what powerful. But the world functions totally beyond. You know, the whole this world functions from things that you don't understand, from things that are not in Teva. We can't really grasp this that much. There's halacha. So, as we mentioned in last week's parsha, the Shemila Olam is a Zichru Gargar. Mara tells us that the Gargar is a shame. But, you know, we don't say that, we don't pronounce the shame as it's written. But it's Shemavaya. We don't pronounce Shemavaya as written. Shemavaya is written in the Gibavki, we don't say it that way. So, even the Shemashaychas, you know, we can, the way we say it, the Shem Adnas is recognized Shem as the master, the condition of the master, that we can say. But to say Havaya, you know, again, this piece of information is so far beyond us, you know, how can we approach mentioning it? You know, we can talk about it, but to say the Shem Havaya, we have the Shaykhah to it. The Gemara tells the Amuri Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes up and says that, but on that day, lost in love, well, then, you know, we will pronounce the Shem as the. But this is the Kuda, we couldn't understand what's above all, we will understand the Kuda. This is this idea of being a Mabado, this idea of working along with heaven, we understand what's above all. Now, right now, it's beyond us. For now, we leave it as a fact, and we think about it, we try to understand the ability, but something which is very much beyond us, beyond our world, beyond everything. But means Ivenu, you know, as our Kuda, then the Kuda is to know that what we see in this world is not the world in reality. It's a perception that we have, and we work within it. Ultimately, everything comes from beyond, things work in a way which is far beyond understanding. Doing a mitzvah, you know, if I do a mitzvah stuff, so what we see is that I help somebody out. What we don't see is that how many olamos we misaki, how much hashpah we're doing in the world, how much good we're doing in the world. The making a bracha, so there's the Ramban mentions, you see it from our brachas, so the Ramban mentions, you make a bracha, so we think, okay, bracha is a nice thing because, you know, making a shem, so it's a lot to do it, so we do it. But the Nefesh HaChaim went down, the Ramban explained to him as well, that bracha is bringing endless hashpah and silver to the world. I sit down and have a cup of coffee, I make a shahakul, and I just think, okay, now I can drink my coffee. But I don't understand that the world, the word baruch is now to the entire bria. I've brought more of baruch into the world, and there's hashpah's tovos, there's bracha's coming in, which I have no shahakul, but the world's coming. It's far beyond. atonement for Avaya. That's something which is like something of the world that goes far beyond our system, which makes everything here work and exist and validate everything here is nothing. So that's something which we can't fully understand. We can't pronounce the Avaya. We can only we look at the words, we look at the letters, we can't pronounce it. But it's a fact that we have to have in mind. So this is the Gilui. The Gilui with the Shayach for the world, in its creation, El Shakai, is that Baruch Hu is the one who created all Teva, both Teva, through the Hevel were given away that we can receive this Baruch Hu. But these Parshas in particular, in the Gilui of Torah Har Sinai, is the Gilui that there's something far beyond that. And this is the Gilui, in some ways, unique to Klal Yisrael, not to the soul of the soul, to a certain kind of God in nature. But they don't have a shaykhus to the Shem Avaya, which shaykhus is seeing this idea of Mamiya Teva. Doesn't mean that we as you didn't have to be able to understand and perceive that our lives that we're living go far beyond everything that we can see in front of us.